15 minutes away from 4 o'clock, Bullseye on the afternoon on AM 930 WEOL. Matt Douglas and yours truly, Andy Bulbards, with you until 6 o'clock this evening. Time now for us to head to the hotline as we bring on our very first guest, Adam Burke with BangTheBook.com and Bang the Book Radio. Adam, as always, a pleasure to have you on, my friend. And boy, a lot to digest here over the next 10 minutes or so. And I want to begin with the 144th Preakness Stakes. The two horses involved with that controversial Kentucky Derby finish are out. So who does that leave as this weekend's favorites?
Yeah, it's crazy. It's the first time since 1996 that the winner of the Kentucky Derby is not going to be in the Preakness. I think I saw the first time since 1953 that the top three finishers from the Derby aren't in the Preakness. So much different field here, but the overwhelming favorite here is Improbable. Now down to a 2-1 favorite, the Bob Baffert team with Mike Smith. That was, of course, the team that got together for Justify last year, won the Triple Crown. So not a big surprise to see Improbable, an overwhelming favorite here a day ahead of the race.
What's that done here? Has it opened up the field for horses that might win this, or has it really narrowed it down?
It's actually made it really interesting. I mean, Improbable is, you know, the one that had the best speed figures coming in, ran pretty well in the Kentucky Derby, just, you know, wasn't able to get up there to the front of the pack. Again, Baffert and Smith, anytime they're together, they're going to take money. But we've actually seen some pretty interesting movement out there in the odds so far. Number 7, Always Mining, is a local horse based in Maryland, runs at Laurel Park. No Maryland-based horse has run this, or won this, I should say, since 1983. But with a lot of local money in there here so far, because Always Mining is a well-known name, had a very strong race in the lead-in to the Preakness, that one's taking a lot of money here. And also Bourbon War, who just missed having enough points to run at the Kentucky Derby. That one's down to 5-1. It was in the 12-1 range on the opening odds after the post draw on Wednesday. So we're starting to see some money get spread out a little bit here for sure.
As you take a look at some of the long shots, are there any in there that you kind of like on Saturday?
Yeah, there's a few. I mean, as far as really long shots go, anything 20-1, 18-1 or higher, not really. But a couple of 10-1 range horses that I do like here a little bit. One of them is Owendale. It's going to be coming out of post 5 for Brad Cox. Florent Giroux is the jockey there. And you know, they had a really strong run at the Lexington Stakes in the last tune-up race for Owendale. And that was the first race with Giroux up there on Owendale. And he won it with a huge run over the final 3 furlongs or so. Really came from the back of the pack and charged forward. Seems like Giroux just might be the guy that's the correct driver for this horse. So I do like Owendale, and I also like Win Win Win, who isn't a Maryland-bred horse like Always Mining is, but is a Maryland horse in the sense that Mike Trombetta and Julian Pimentel, the trainer and jockey combo, runs a lot at Laurel Park. They're very familiar with these Maryland tracks. And Win 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 starts on the outside here from the far outside post at 13. So as a horse with really good speed, he should be able to stay out of the traffic, which was something he couldn't do in the Kentucky Derby. Here with 13 horses instead of 19, should be able to make that run on the outside, get some speed toward the end of the race. So I like the 5 and 13 here, Owendale and Win Win Win.
If DJ Khaled doesn't have anything invested in Win Win Win, something is wrong with this world, my friend. He's got to be involved somehow, some way. But you were talking about some of the long shots and some of the middle shots. And anytime a race comes up, you always start thinking outside the box a little bit. I know a few weeks back when we were talking about the Kentucky Derby, we had talked about some of the prop bets that came up as a result. Does the Preakness get as much attention with their prop bets, or are there any prop bets out there that are available for the Preakness?
Not really. There's not nearly as much out there, and especially for this year's Preakness, because you know we're not going to have a Triple Crown winner. We don't even have the chance at a Triple Crown winner. If Maximum Security had not been disqualified, that prop would be alive and well, because Maximum Security probably would have won this race too. I think a lot of people in the industry believe that that was the best speed horse in the Derby, would have been the best speed horse here for the Preakness, which is the shortest of the Triple Crown races. So that prop would have been alive and well if Maximum Security hadn't been DQ'd. Since we don't have a shot at a Triple Crown here, not a whole lot of alternative wagering for this, except for, obviously, I mean, I don't know if a lot of people realize this, but there are all-day racing on Friday and Saturday at these tracks that have these Triple Crown events. So there are pick 3s, pick 4s, pick 5s. There's the Black Eyed Susan Stakes and the Preakness Stakes Double, where you can pick the winner of the filly race today in about 45 minutes or so, and then the winner of tomorrow's Preakness. So those are just, you know, natural options that are always out there on the board.
Adam Burke with BangTheBook.com and Bang the Book Radio joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. We turn our attention now to the links. The PGA Championship began yesterday at Bethpage Black. Any tips you can offer out there for those who are attacking this in real-time betting?
I don't know about real-time betting, but I can tell you, if it's a major, bet Brooks Koepka. Because, I mean, this is ridiculous what he's doing. A fine round underway here today. He's four shots ahead of anybody else in the field. For whatever reason, this dude just owns these major courses. It's kind of incredible what he's able to do in these really big events. But, you know, something that you do want to look at here is, you know, if he falters, who can go out there and put up a number, put up a 62 or a 63 and kind of run him down? Dustin Johnson is one of those guys. He's got the potential to go 62 or 63 anytime he tees it up. I don't think somebody like Jordan Spieth has that capability right now. I don't think Tommy Fleetwood is consistent enough to do that. So right now, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, the only guy I would look to live bet with in-tournament wagering would be Dustin Johnson, because if he goes 63-63 on the weekend or 63-64, he can challenge Koepka. I don't think right now with what Koepka's doing, anybody else really has a shot, which is crazy for, you know, a major at Bethpage Black. Just say that on Friday.
I think John Daly missing the cut really opened up the field. I'm kidding, of course. We were having some fun with this.
Daly.
We were having some fun.
What a gem. What a legend that dude is.
Yes, see? He just said, I told you, that guy's an absolute legend. Matt Douglas disagreed with me, but that guy is a slice of Americana as there could possibly be. The guy's actually gotten permission to use a cart, firing up heaters, and he's smashing McDonald's, and he's just drinking soft drinks. He's having a great time, and he's only drinking soft drinks because, you know, PGA won't let him drink anything else when he's out on the course.
You say arthritis, I say he needed the cup holders there.
The guy's a king. Absolute legend, and it's just too bad he did not make the cut this time around.
It's a travesty.
Now, well, Adam, I'm glad you agree about the legacy of John Daly. We'll move on to some baseball now, though. You know, you picked out a few games I thought were very interesting. I want to focus on the ALCS championship rematch here. Houston-Boston, a very, very big one tonight in Fenway. Gerrit Cole taking on Rick Porcello. You like the Astros in Fenway tonight. Why is that?
Yeah, I do like the Astros a little bit here tonight, and not a ton of movement on this game out there in the marketplace. I like the Astros in the minus 135 range, and a little bit surprised it hasn't gone higher because we've seen a lot of support for Gerrit Cole, and deservedly so. I mean, for Gerrit Cole this year, his strand rate, his left on base percentage is just 64.5%. He's struck out almost 39% of batters this year. The idea that he's not stranding a whole lot of runners is mind-blowing to me with a strikeout rate that's that high. So you'd look for some positive regression in that area for him, which would lower his ERA, which would obviously mean he's out there having really good starts. His one problem this season has been the long ball. And Boston, just for whatever reason, they don't have a lot of power this year. They're not hitting a lot of doubles. They're not hitting a lot of home runs. It's really hard to string hits and walks together against Gerrit Cole. So I think Houston's in a pretty good spot tonight. Also, Rick Porcello's just not a guy that I'm a huge fan of. I don't like the command profile very much. I think Houston is in pretty good shape tonight against Boston.
And for just a second here, I'd like to focus on the Tribe game tonight. You threw some interesting numbers out there earlier today about Dylan Bundy and just how bad he's been and how much success lefties have had against him. But you also threw some interesting notes out there about Yeffrey Rodriguez. You know, a lot of the numbers, the traditional ones anyways, that he's posted have been pretty good. But you mentioned also there's certainly some room for concern out there as well. And this is ultimately a game that you decided to stay away from to keep up this terrific month of May that you've had so far. But what are some elements of this Tribe game that really intrigue you, especially as far as Yeffrey Rodriguez is concerned?
Yeah, this is one that I may end up regretting not being involved in. I kind of like the Indians minus half a run for the first five innings, which would mean they'd have to be up by one or more through the fifth inning. And you know, it's one of those things where for Yeffrey Rodriguez, I have a real hard time with a guy that throws mid to upper 90s and can't get swings and misses with it. Because a lot of times those are guys that will allow a lot of hard contact. You know, sometimes it gets hit a little harder than it comes in, so to speak. And you know, I just don't know if that contact management profile is sustainable for Yeffrey Rodriguez. Fortunately for him, he's induced a lot of ground balls. The Indians' infield defense is very, very good, especially with Lindor not hobbling around as much as he previously was. But still, you know, those hard-hit balls find holes. And for Yeffrey Rodriguez, the margin for error just isn't there. He's only striking out 15% of hitters, only a 6.6% swinging strike rate. You have to have a margin for error, especially with the current, you know, offensive environment in Major League Baseball, with all the home runs, the hard contact, the launch angle stuff. You got to strike people out at some point. And for Yeffrey Rodriguez to not be doing that here, I think he's going to run into one of those starts, or maybe two of those starts, where balls just find holes, things kind of snowball, he gets out of the stretch and kind of loses his control a little bit. Because this is a guy that's never really had good control coming up through the minor leagues. So if he sees some of that regression with that batted ball luck, then what happens? Can he pitch out of those jams? Does he start to lose his control again? I think they were kind of teetering in a spot where Yeffrey Rodriguez could really fall off the cliff a little bit. And obviously with the situation with the rotation right now, that wouldn't be a very good thing.
Fantastic stuff as always, my friend. Adam, we always appreciate the time. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy your weekend, my friend, and we'll do this again next week.
Absolutely, boys. Have a good weekend.
You too.
Thanks, Adam. You do the same. Again, Adam Burke with BangTheBook.com and Bang The Book Radio. Make sure you check out BangTheBook.com. Some truly fantastic stuff on there. Whether you are or are not into the handicapping scene, if you're just a fan, there's some outstanding information on that site that you need to check out.